We're going to learn now. We're going to finish the, I guess, Hilchos Motzei Shabbos, and we're going to learn from. We're going to learn about Bar Mir HaHoesh and Lava Malka. We're going to go to source 41 now. We're going to talk a bit about what the basis for this bracha Bar Mir HaHoesh is. Why do we do it? Can you use a light bulb? And then we're going to get into Lava Malka. Okay, so. Look in source 41, Psachim, Daphnim, Gimel, Beis. Amar, Rehuda, Amar, Shmuel. Rehuda is the name of Shmuel. Ein mevarachim ala or el motzei Shabbos. So why do we make a bracha on the fire or the on motzei Shabbos? Ho'el utchilas b'yasahu. This is when it was created. Uvemotzei Shabbos nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu de'a b'adam harishon me'ein dugma shel mala. That God gave man the understanding, some kind of similar to divine knowledge. That he was able to rub two stones against each other and create fire. What do you think that means, where he gave man this kind of divine knowledge? What do you think that means? What do you think that means? Me'ein dugma shel mala. It was de'a, it was understanding that was similar to divine knowledge. Any thoughts? I don't have a definitive view on this, but I think it has to do with this idea of, like, in this world, our job is to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We partner with God. So God creates a world. He gives us the raw materials, and he created, and we in some sense are creating. We don't create from nothing. But we use our intellect in order to create. And I think that this is sort of similar to we created something. We created fire. Obviously, we used something. We used these two stones, and we're able to do that. But this is us partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a but this that's this is probably the more common story behind the reason for saying Bar Mir HaHoesh. There's another story, is less commonly known, in Source 42, in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar and Perichof, where it tells a story about Bein HaShemashah Shel Shabbos. It was like twilight on Shabbos, like almost Shabbos was over, the first Shabbos. Ha'ada Maharher Belibo. So Adam was like saying to himself, V'haya Omer Hashem HaNacha Shehita Osiyavo V'Yishufani Ekev. Maybe the snake that tricked me will come in and bite me on the heel. He lost his legs. He's now my adversary. He's gonna bite me on the heel. So vinishtaleach lo amud shel esh ula shamro lahar lo mikol ra. And apparently a pillar of fire was sent to Adam to guard him and to protect him from dark from anything evil, right? There are no lights at night. So how could he see if this serpent would sneak up on him? So somehow fire was created. Ra Adam Amud Shalesh Vesam Libo. So man Adam saw this pillar of fire and he was very happy. Upashad as Yad Or Ha'esh, and he stretched out his hand to the light of the fire of Amar Baruch Hashem Kabakalam Bore Mare Ho'esh. He made this bracha. Uche Hirchik as Yadam Me'or Ha'esh, and when he distanced his hands from the light of the fire, Amar, he said, Achshav Ani Yodesh Nivdal Yom HaKosh Miyom Chol. Now, I guess. That Shabbos is separate from the weekday. Lama she'ein lahaver esh b'yom haShabbos. Again, that you can't kindle a fire on Shabbos. Again, this is all before God created this. So I don't know if this is like literal or figurative. And then it says, "Bosa shamar brach Hashem kolam hamavde bin kodesh l'chol." Hashem, at that time, he said this bracha. Again, in Chazal created these brachos, but there's a midrash that somehow this was done in the time of Adam. The difference between these two stories is in the Gemara and Psachim, it's man who creates the fire, and in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it's God who creates the fire. And Adam's very happy with this. Now, the Rashba says it has to be something more than that, because if you think about it, there were many different creations for all 6 days of the week, and the only creation that we are celebrating is the creation of fire. Light was created, land was created, animals were created, fish were created, human beings were created. We don't engage in any weekly blessing to celebrate any of the other creations. The only creation that we celebrate on a weekly basis is the creation of fire on Saturday night. So the Rashba in source 43, the Tshuva of the Rashba, Chilak Av Simon Kuf Nun Tes, he asks, Maru Chacham Nevarach Ala Or B'motzei Shas Mitam Shehari Mitchilas Briyaso Yoser Mishar Briyus Zeh B'yom Ploni V'zeh B'yom Ploni. Why do the Chachamim see fit to command us to make a bracha on fire and Motzei Shabbos more so than any other creation? V'ulai Lefi Shebriyas Ha'es Ha'esal Yidei Adam V'yavo Adam V'yavarach Ala Mashin Kim Mishar Briyos. So there's a big difference because fire was created by us. So this is, the other creations were created by God. This was created by us. So in other words, on Saturday night, it's not simply about the creation of fire, but this signifies our role in, like I said, partnering with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help shape the world. And we, by using our mind or intellect to perfect the world, not just morally and spiritually, but also to make the world a better place, to come up with new ideas, to use our minds to make the world better. So this is the first creation that man created. So that's why. So that was his question. He says, that's what he first suggested. That's what first suggested the question. But then he says, Yesh Tam told me that there's a better reason, not just the reason that I just suggested, that this is the first creation by man. But something else, Levisha Nasar B'Shabbos, V'chol Motzei Shabbos, Chozer L'Tero, Uchli Nitzchadesh Ata. There's another reason, because the kindling of a fire is forbidden on Shabbos, and now it's permitted on Saturday night. So it's almost as if it's been renewed. The ability to kindle the fire, it's renewed every week. Umishum kach mavarchim alav, and therefore we make a bracha and afim motzei Yom Kippur, also motzei Yom Kippur. They should be Yom Nesar, on Yom Kippur, you can't kindle a flame either. And viata hutar, and now it's permitted. Uchili nischar shatos. Also, it's been renewed. It's been refreshed. So there's this idea of lighting a fire on a weekly basis is permitted. So this is almost like, so on the one hand, it's like celebrating the first creation of man. And number two, it's to highlight, I guess, an aspect of Havdalah.
Aren't there other things that are forbidden on Shabbos?
Yeah.
That don't make brachas on?
Right, that's a good point. I think that maybe this is viewed as most central. Like, you know, that's always the question. Like, what creation is most central to our existence? So I guess the creation of fire. It could be a combination of these reasons, but maybe the creation of fire is seen so central to human development. But that's a good question. I guess they're saying that this specific, object of a fire, Havara, is something which they feel is most significant. It might be a combination of both of these reasons. The Gemara now says in Source 44, Pesachim Kuf Gimel Beis, Kimata Lavdule. So when it came time to recite Avdala, Kom Shamei Vadlik Avuka Mishraga. So Rava's servant, so he lit a torch from the candle. Amalei Lamalach Kulei Hai, why do you need all this? Hamancha Shraga, we have a candle. Amalei Shama Midate Denashikavid. So he said, Rava said, no, he did it on his own accord. He didn't consult me. Amalei. But Rav Yaakov Baraba said back to him, said, Ilo Shemia Le Mine Damar. No. Had he not heard it from his master, lo havavid, he wouldn't have done it. Amalei, lo sever le mar, avukal avdol mitzvah and muvchar. Don't we hold that it's best to have a torch because it's greater illumination? This idea that you want to have multiple wicks because you want to have a larger flame because it's more special, like the torch. That's what we do. Now, there's a whole question about, do you need to get benefit from the light? Right, so like, let's say you're standing far away from the Havdalah candle. So, do you have to get close to the Havdalah candle to make the bracha on it, or to fulfill the mitzvah of Eish? So the Mishnah in Source 45 in Brachos, Perek Ches, Mishnah Gimel says, Ein Vorchem Al Ner Ad She'os Lo'oro. You can't make the bracha over the candle until you get benefit from the light. So question, what does that mean? So the Gemara in Brachos Davna Gimel Mabez in Source 46 says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Lo Ye'oso Yusu Mamish. Doesn't mean you actually have to get benefit from the light. Ela Kol She'ilu Omed Bekarov U'bishtamesh La'ora V'afilu Barachok Barichok Makom. As long as there has to be light such that if you were close up, then you would be able to use the light. And even if right now you're standing at a distance, in other words, you don't actually need to get benefit from the light. But there has to be enough light that's created that someone could get benefit from it. Right? V'ravam, our Rav says, no, you also mamish. You actually have to get benefit from it. Bekama, how much? Amu'ula kadeshi yarki ben isha lapundayon, such that you can recognize the difference between these two different coins, an Isser coin and a Pundayon coin. In other words, if it was pitch black and you had the fire, then you could tell the difference between these two coins. And the Chizki, when Chizki says, kadeshi yarki ben melachma shel tveria le melach, I'm sorry, ben meluzma shel tveria le meluzma shel tzipora. I guess you can distinguish in two different weights. So we have this debate in the Gemara. When you're hearing Havdalah, can you stand far away from the Havdalah? You can stand far away from Havdalah to fulfill the mitzvah of Havdalah. You have to have a besamim if you want to smell the besamim, but for the Eish, you have to be close up or not. So that's a debate in the Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch, Source 47, Aruch Chaim, Reish Ches
Tzadi. Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Before you continue.
Yeah, sure.
So if you have lights that go on automatically in your kitchen, and you now want to kindle a light to make this bracha, do you have to shut the lights in the room?
Yeah, we're going to see that some have the custom to. There are those we're going to see at the very end that there is this custom to shut the lights. We're going to get there by Source 58, 59. That's a great question. You see, there is a practice. We'll get to that in a bit. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Chet Tzadik, Reish Tzadik Ches. They switch around the letters because Reish Tzadik Ches means Retzach, murder. So they switch it to Reish Chet Tzadik. Seif Dalet. Ein Mavarchi Bala Ner Ad She'osu La'oro. You can't make a bracha on the candle unless you draw benefit from it. Dehainu She'yia Samach Lo B'Yichdei She'yuchal La'hakir Bein Matbeah Medina Zulim L'Matbeah Bidin Acheres. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you actually have to get close to the candle to get benefit from it. The Mordechai says, there's this custom. Some people want to look at their fingernails, when they want to look at their fingernails specifically. So kasa b'tshuva sagonim, u'mashenu mistalkim b'tziparnayim. That the fact that we look at our fingernails. There was a shanu b'talmud Yerushalmi. It's found in the Yerushalmi u'v'talmud Bavli, and it's also taught in the Talmud Bavli. Ein mevarach malora shiosel oro. You can't. Make a bracha on the light until you get benefit from the light. Ad shemargish bohak haor shel ner havdala, meaning until you can see the shine of the light of the havdala candle. Va'afki zochrim al tziparnav shel adam harishon shneva kulo tziparnayim. I don't know what this means. He says apparently man, when he was originally created, he was created entirely as nails. Somehow his skin, look at the footnote, said Adam's skin before sinning was covered entirely by the same material as nails. Again, not fully sure what that means. But okay. So there's that's some kind of reason. But there's another reason it's brought down. Source 49, which resonates with me more. The Rosh in Brachos, Perichas, Simon Gimel says, L'chach nagu listaka b'tzarpanayim b'sha'a shavarchim l'aner l'haro shi'ocho l'enos b'menu l'haker b'matbeah l'matbeah k'mo sh'maka b'tzpor l'basar. The reason why you look at your fingernails when you make a bracha on the candle is to show that you can get benefit from it, and you can tell the difference between one coin and another coin, like you can tell the difference between your fingernail and your skin. In other words, when you look at the nails, right? So you're supposed to look to tell the difference between what's your skin and what's your nail, because most people don't come to shul in their home most people when they make avdol, they don't think out, okay, I got to get an Isar coin and a Pundayon coin and see if I can tell the difference. In other words, the goal is to tell the difference between these two different coins. So if you could, so presumably if you could tell the difference between your flesh and your nail, that is similar to the difference. That, and that's how much light you have to have. So you can tell the difference between your fingernail and your skin. And the Shulchan Aruch in source 50, Aruch Chaim, Resh Chesari, Seif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the custom is to gaze at the palms of the hands and the nails. And he writes, V'yesh, the Rama writes, V'yesh, the Rosh B'tziporna Yad Yamin. Should look at the fingernails of your right hand, V'lechos, the close B'yad Smol, and hold the cup in your left hand. V'yesh, the Chfof, Ha'etzpa'ot L'toch Hayad. You should like fold the hand, or cup the hand, the fingers into the hand. Sh'az Rosh B'tziporna Yimak Kapos Bas Achas. The goal is to see, you bend the fingers so you can see the nails with the palm, and you won't see the inner sides of the fingers. Not sure why, but he says that the goal is to see the difference between, to see the I guess between the nails and the palm. Maybe to see the difference between the difference between the nails and the palm. So that's why some people have that custom. But the goal, from my perspective, the goal of the nails really is so you can benefit. It's basically so you can benefit from it. So you can see, you can discern from between the skin, and the nails. Hold on a second. Yeah, I think some of these are like more mystical reasons for it, so I'm not sure about. Okay, if you look in source 51. Okay, now here's a question about, can you use a light bulb? What do you think? Can you use a light bulb? What do you think? Can you use a light bulb for candles, for Friday night candles? Yeah, we use tea, like in the hospital, we give out tea leaves. Because Friday night, the goal is, again, this is according to most poskim, not everyone holds this, but many poskim hold. You can use, like, the goal of Shabbos is, on Friday night, is to provide light. The goal on Saturday night is Aish, fire. So we can see fluorescents are a problem, but what about light bulb? So there's a Gemara in Brachos, stuff in Gimel Bay, source 51. There's Panas. Let's say you have a candle that's hidden in your lap. So that's dangerous, but okay. But let's say you have a candle that's hidden in your lap, and or it's placed inside a panas, an opaque lamp, meaning light's coming out, but it's not a see-through, like a frosted light bulb, basically. So you can't see the filament. Right? O shara shal heves, or you see the flame, but you don't utilize the light. O nishtamish lower v'lara shal heves, or you're using the light, but you don't see the flame. Enim varach ad sheyira shal heves v'yishtamish lower. You need to see the flame, and you need to use the light. So the Gemara says, "Bishlam yishtamish la'or v'la'ra shel heves." Gemara says, "Oh, I know of a case where you're using the light and you're not using the flame. What's a case where you can use the light, not the flame? Mishkachas la the kaima karen zavis. Let's say it's by a corner. Let's say the candle is in one side of the corner, and you're in the other side of the corner, so you can't see the candle, but you can see the light, right? The light." And so it's on, you're in one corner, that was the other corner. That's an example where you can benefit from the light, but you cannot see the flame. So that's no good. So the question the Rashba is going to deal with now, well, what about if there is a, if it's like, I mean, there's no flashlights back then, but what if it's like a lamp in a glass, okay, or in a lantern? So the Rashba says, near the panas, enu kein ashashis. A panas is not like an ashashis. Panas is an opaque lamp, so you can't see the flame. An ashashit is a transparent lantern. It's a transparent glass. You can see the flame. You can see the whatever the metal. You can see the flame inside. Shiroa shel heves b'toch ashashit. So da kiroa dahu kiroa shel heves chashin alei. The Rashba is of the opinion that you can, yes, use a transparent a lamp with a where you can see the flame through the glass. You can use it for Bor Mer HaEsh, for the candle. And even though the body of the lamp, the lantern or whatever, the hashashit, is stopping in the middle, it's between you and the fire. Nevertheless, it's considered like you're seeing it. It's like what they say in the end of the chapter called entitled Misha Meso. Amar Rava says, "Soa ba'ashashit muta likros kriyat shema kenegda." So let's say you see feces. So first of all, there's an issue of smell davening when you're smelling feces, and also if you're seeing it. So what if you there's a glass and you can see it, but there's a glass in between. That's okay. You can still recite Kriyat Shema, assuming you can't smell it. Now, but what about Erva Bashashis? Let's say a man sees a woman who's unclothed through this glass. So that's also the cross Kriyat Shema. You can't recite Kriyat Shema. You can through feces, you can, but not seeing an unclothed woman. My time, what's the reason? Tsoa Bekisu Talia Milsa. When it comes to Tsoa, the goal is as long as it's covered. So if you have a glass covering, if you can see it, it's still covered. But Baha Michsaya, and it's covered. But Erva Lerucha, Erva Stavar, Ksi Baha Mitchazya. If it comes to a woman who's unclothed, nakedness, it depends if you see it. So here you're seeing it. So he wants to prove that just like when it comes to see a woman who's unclothed, that's considered seeing it even through a transparent glass. So too, you see the fire for Havdalah through a transparent glass also. So it should also work. And he says more than that. Va'o dahalo mashkach mishtamish l'ora, v'lo ra'ah shel heves ela k'dekaima b'keren zavis. When the Gemara wants to give the case in Source 51, when the Gemara gave a case of what? What was the case? The Gemara wants to come up with a case where you can utilize the light, but you cannot see the light. What was the case? Where you're on one side of the corner and the flame is on the other side of the corner. Why didn't the Gemara give the case, right? He says, "Ve'im isa mishkach la'or tumuna b'panas o b'shashis she'eino roa shalheves mamish." Why didn't the Gemara say, "Oh, I know of a case where you're utilizing the flame, but you can't see it, where it's through a transparent glass"? Since it doesn't give that case, so it must mean that that's okay. So the Rashba would say that for our purposes, with a transparent, we generally understand that an incandescent light bulb, the metal filament, it's like it's a hot metal filament that's considered like a fire, and so you should be allowed to make Havdalah with that. However, the Beis Yosef in Source 53, he understands the Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi, that does not like what's called a spaklaria, which the Beis Yosef understands to be an Ashashit, to seem that the Rashba argues on Yerushalmi, which seems to say that that would be no good because there's a glass in between. And the Magen Avraham says, no. In Source 54, he thinks what the Yerushalmi means is something different than what the Beis Yosef says. So bottom line is, there seems to be this machlokes, there's this debate as to whether it counts to use for a Havdalah candle, for a fire, if it's surrounded by glass. Does that work or not? And the Mishneh Berurah basically says that many poskim hold like the Shulchan Aruch, and he said, ideally, you shouldn't be lenient with this. That's what the Mishneh Berurah seemed to say. So ideally, you should not really use an incandescent light bulb as a, well, again, there wasn't back then, but that the equivalent of that, for a Havdalah candle. In fact, if you look in Source 56, in the Tshuva of Or LeZion, he says, "Ach she'or hachashmal nechshav esh." Even though we hold that a light is considered electric, like considered a fire, v'hamadlik or v'hachashmal b'shabbos chay mishimaver. And right, if I turn on an electric light on Shabbos, I violate the Torah prohibition of mavir, of kindling a flame. Right, mikol makom. Nevertheless, right, and we're going to see, a fluorescent light, you don't violate the Torah prohibition of Eish. That's not Havara. But if you do an electric light, most poskim hold you violate Mavir. Mikol makom, ein levarach la bar mer Eish. You don't make the bracha bar mer Eish, because we see in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Ches Tzadi Reish, Siv Tesvav, aspaklaria, but that they a candle inside an aspaklaria, ashashit, a glass, whatever case, ain mevarchim alav, you don't make a bracha on it. Muchach she'av she'ro asar, we see from here that even though you're seeing the light, mikol makom kevan she'or ain megula, since it's not uncovered, ela nimtes b'zchuchit, but it's found in glass, ain mevarchim alav, you don't make a bracha on it. Uch mevor b'beis Yosef, like we find in the Beis Yosef. V'imkein hu adin barach hashmal, same thing would apply to an electric light, kevan she'machusu, since it's covered b'zchuchit with glass, ain levarch lav, you don't make a bracha on it. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, source 57, in Perek Samach Aleph, Seif Lamed Beis. Ein Levarach Al Nura. What's the next word? In source 57, what's the next word? Ein Levarach Al Nura.
Fluorescent.
Fluorescent. Fluorescent. Okay. So you don't make a bracha on a fluorescent light. Kiare Ein by Eish Cloud. There's no fire at all. It's just gases. Ve'ein levarach al noras chashmal regila shezchuchit ein hashkufa. And we don't make a bracha on an electric light, a regular one, whose glass is not transparent. Uva'asher lenorat chashmal shezchuchita shkufa. But if it's transparent glass, like a bulb that's completely transparent, machlokas aposkim hi, it's a debate. Imut levarach ala yesh otzim v'yesh achem matir. That's a big debate. He writes here, and then he brings this, Rabbi Jachter wrote an article on this. And he knows Rav Chaim Ozer Gruzinski, Rav Soloveitchik, said you can use non-frosted incandescent bulbs for Bermer Eish. But he says Rav Willick does not recommend them because people are going to make a mistake. Let's read what Rabbi Jachter writes in Source 58. A number of prominent authorities permit the use of non-frosted electric lights for Avdalah. If you have no other option. And he cites the Ragachavar, Rav Avram Steinberg, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Waldenberg, and Rav Soloveitchik and others report that Rav Chaim Moshe Grudzinski recited Bermer Ha'esh on electricity to clarify that we are prohibited to use electricity on Shabbos. You understand what he did? In other words, he was so convinced at a time when there was probably a debate, what do we think about electricity, right? Nowadays, most people, well, nobody uses electricity on Shabbos. Some people still, even our community, I think some people still, like there's some view out there that like, it was said for a while that even well-known poskim turned on lights on Yom Tov. They didn't turn them off because they felt that it's not, they're not creating a new light. You're not creating a new light. You're just because on Yom Tov you can, you know, if there's an existing light, you can transfer it. So there is a view out there that electricity turning on a light, you're just transferring what's already there. Okay, but in any case, bottom line is, Rav Chaim Ozer Gruzinski was so convinced that he wanted to show everyone that the use of electricity is mamish like an Isser Doraisa of Havara, of kindling a flame, then what did he do? He would specifically make a bracha b'reish on electric lights on Saturday night. However, Rabbi Willig said, don't use even a non-frosted incandescent bulb for Motzei Shabbos Avdalah, even in the most extenuating circumstances. He says that nowadays, most incandescent bulbs are frosted. Is that true now? I don't know what's going on now. But that's what he says. And he says, if we permit using non-frosted bulbs, people will be confused and use incandescent bulbs even in improper circumstances. He says, while it was excellent public policy in the early 20th century for Chaim Ozer to recite Havdalah electric lights to prove that electric lights are indeed an Isser Doraisa, he says, now, in the early 21st century, best policy is not to do this. An experienced force of Rav Willig's approach. He said, I've witnessed numerous times people mistakenly use fluorescent bulbs or frosted incandescent bulbs for Havdalah. So therefore, best to avoid this, really. And then this is what Myrna, you're mentioning, where he cites Simcha Bunim Cohen says in the Radiance of Shabbos, page 138, many people turn off the electric lights before the bracha is recited, because some people feel that the electric lights provides such bright illumination that the dull candle cannot really be considered providing any further illumination. That's what some people do. So it's a judgment call sometimes. Depends. It's like obviously in Shul when we recite Avdalah, we don't do that. So when I'm Yotzei Havdalah and Shul, when my wife is there and all members of our household are there, I make sure to get close up so I can really see the fire and benefit from it. But there are those who turn off the lights, and there are different opinions about that. But that's the reason why. It's because if the lights are on, so then maybe you're not getting benefit from the candle. Okay, we're gonna finish a little more. Let's skip to page 232 because we did the last week. We did the correct position for Abdullah, so we're gonna finish now with page 232, Mlava Malka, source 65, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes on Beis. Where does this idea of Mlava Malka come from? So the Gemara says, I mean, if you think about it, it's pretty wild when you think about it, because in the days of the Mishnah, in the days of the Gemara, you know, basically people had two meals a day. They had, you know, a morning meal and an evening meal. Right? If someone was poor and he was collecting communal funds, they'd provide him food for two meals a day. So on Shabbos, now you have a third meal. And now more than that, you have a Mlava Malka. So maybe the halacha, if you don't gain weight from Shabbos foods, maybe it applies also to Mlava Malka, I don't know. You go from two to four. It's like pretty wild. So the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yutes Amud Beis says, "Amar of Chanina, lo lo miyasadir adam shulchan on Motzei Shabbos. A person should set a table on Motzei Shabbos. Avo bishenot tzorach ela k'sayis. Even if you only need the table set for k'sayis of food, even a small amount. Chamin b'Motzei Shabbos melugma pas chama b'Motzei Shabbos melugma. He says hot water on Shabbos is a remedy." After Shabbos is a remedy. Warm bread after Shabbos is a remedy. It's good to have hot water. It's good to have a little bit of bread. And Rabbi Abo hava avdin le bafuke Shabbos igla tilsa. Rabbi Abo, he would prepare at the conclusion of Shabbos a third born calf. Hava achel mine kul yasa. You eat its kidney. Ki gadal avime bre. When his son grew up, what are you doing? You're wasting so much. Why are you shechting a whole cow just for a kidney for Mlava Malka? Nishbo kol yasa me'alei Shabbos. You know, let's leave over the kidney from Erev Shabbos. Don't slaughter a whole calf for that reason. So what happens? Shefku, so they didn't slaughter the calf that week. They used, I guess, the food that they're planning for Shabbos. They saved the kidney for Mlava Malka. Vasa arye achle. And a lion came and ate that calf. They want to save money. And, okay. So, the idea is, of course, you should be spend money for Mlava Malka. The Rambam, source 66, Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Halacha Hey, says, V'chein Mesadar Shulchan Motzei Shabbos. You should set your table on Motzei Shabbos. V'af al pi she'eino tzorech el k'zayis. Even if you only have a k'zayis food, k'dei l'chabdo b'chnisas u'vitziyos. So the purpose is not, there's only so much you can eat. But the goal is that you eat a little bit just to show it's a sign of respect. You're eating a meal, you're mechabed the exit of Shabbos. Obviously, many of us have eat Shalosh Shudos like towards the end of Shabbos, but here's the goal is to, when Shabbos ends, so what do? When Shabbos ends, we recite Havdalah, and we also have a small, set the table, eat a little bit, also as a sign of kavod. Shulchan Aruch in source 67 holds like this in Aruch Chaim Siman Shin. So if Aleph Lom said Om Shulchan Motzei Shabbos, the Lavos the Shabbos person should set table at the conclusion of Shabbos to escort the company out Shabbos. Afilo Enot Tzarech El Kzayis. Even if you need a Kzayis, even a small amount of food. Just it's a sima, it's a sign that you're sort of like it's sort of like I guess you're like I don't know. It's like you're eating a respectable meal. It's like this is a chush of time as well. The Mishnah Brewer says the following in Source 68, Or Chaim Simon Shin, Seif Aleph and Beis. He first says, Yesadar Adam Shulchan, a person should set his table. What does that mean? Hainli Frost Mapal Shulchan Oder Kavod. Should set, you know, a tablecloth on his table out of the signs of Kavod. V'chein Sha'ar Dvar Hanahugim Etzel Baricha the Shulchan. You want to have a nice Shabbos table. So in other words, like your Shabbos, the guest Shabbos is leaving. So it's you still want to keep Shabbos nice. You still want to keep your house nice until Shabbos leaves, and he says, you don't need to prepare more than what you need to eat. In other words, it's more like a siman, just a sign. Do something extra. Ideally, should have a bread. Like other meals of Shabbos. It's best to have meat or other foods, if you have. If you may know, but if you don't have, oshechosh gasa. If you're concerned about overeating, like let's say you're eating shalshus very late in the day, so to have another meal right after that, it's a lot. Have some mizonos, have some fruit, and say this is the chavod lava malka. G'day lelavos, the Mishnah Berurah says the chshem shetzorich lechavod Shabbos bechnisaso, that just like we accompany Shabbos when it's entering, kain tzorich lechavod bitziyasa, so too we need to honor it when it's leaving. K'shem she'adam melaves ha'melech b'tzeiso min ha'ir, just like a person accompanies the king when he leaves the city. U'mitamzeh, based on this reason, nira it seems, she'tov lahakdima, that it's good to hold the meal early. K'dei she'tia smucha litzias ha'Shabbos, so that it should be close to the end of Shabbos, because you're sort of welcoming the Shabbos out, or you're scoring the Shabbos out. V'yeinu toi v'adayin lechom. But if you're not, if you don't have an appetite now because you just had shalshudas, it's best you don't do a lot of work, fixed work until you have this meal. Shouldn't have it delay it beyond midnight. There's a limb that a person has called naskui. Vizel Aver Nishar Kayam Bekever Ades Atchia, and this bone remains in the kever, in the grave, until resurrection. Viafilu Achashin Nirkavu Bo Kol Hatzamos, and even after all the other bones have rotted, this one bone, Ze Aver Eno Nana Mishumachila Kimi Sudas Malamaka, and this bone, this limb benefits only from Sudas Malamaka. I think they call this what, the loose bone? Heard that? So basically, there's this idea that somehow it's this bone. It's when you eat them lama malka, it will keep this bone in existence, so it doesn't rot after we die. V'dad mikom mekom suda zu enechova alav k'mo shal shudas k'mo shal suda shal shabbos d'shama smachu akrav v'zeh rak mitzvah ba'alma. Says this is not an obligation like shalashudas, even the third meal, but that's also based on a pasuk. I mean, it's hinted at by a pasuk. This is only a simple mitzvah. If you can't have all of them, better have shalashudas rather than mlava malka. Okay, and then the shmir shalos kachas, the source 69, says in Perek Samach Gimel, Saif Hey and Vav. Best to have the Mlava Malka close to the when Shabbos leaves, because you're escorting the Shabbos queen out. If you're not hungry right after Shabbos, you can delay. But don't perform any work of a fixed nature until you have this meal. Should try to have it within the first 4 hours of the night, certainly not after midnight. But then he says, this might be an out for some of us, for ha'ochel suda shlishis b'shabbos marach ba ad chashecha, if you eat shalashudas on Shabbos and it extends until after it's dark, potem yisudas mlava malka, you're exempt from mlava malka, but some say you should still eat it. So maybe if our shalashudas lasts a little bit until the nighttime, maybe that counts also. What about women? Are women obligated in mlava malka? The Or LeZion says in Source 70, Chelek Beis Siman Chav Beis Seif Yud Beis, Yesh Li Stapek. There is to doubt him. Nashim Chayavos Mesuda Revius. If women are obligated in this fourth meal, Shefsha Shadin Suda Revius Tali Bavdala. Maybe it's based on Havdala. Shrei Tam Echad Lahem Kli Lalavos the Shabbos Bechnisas Vitziyasa. Lava Malka is really the same reason for Havdala, is to. You know, you welcome Shabbos and you escort Shabbos out. And v'imkena davar taloi b'machlos shebi b'shulchan aruch im nashin chayavos b'havdala. We saw there's a debate: is a woman obligated in havdala? That's why a woman should not recite havdala for a man, at least according to Ashkenazim, because a woman might not be obligated in havdala to begin with. A man can recite havdala for a woman, but a woman can't for a man because she might not be obligated in this. So maybe she's not obligated. If she's not obligated in havdala, maybe she's not obligated in lava malka. But the Or LeZion, who is Sfardi, he said, "I'll call upon him near the whole Maran pasuk lemaisa. Since Rav Yosef Karo paskin alach lemaisa, she nashim chayovas ap avdala. The women are obligated even avdala. Hu adin. Same alach applies she chayovas gankin besuder vis, that they are also obligated in a malava malka. And then he says that ure'ei bebeis Yosef sham shebi ol tam lesuder vis. And Beis Yosef has another reason for the blah blah blah. The etzem yesh bam sheinu nena b'achila motzei Shabbos. There's that bone out there. There's that bone that we want to remain in existence after that. We benefit from the blah blah malka. V'gam yesh tamak pia kabbalah. There's a kabbalistic reason. And, okay, so these reasons apply to women as well. And prima gadim as a middle view. Efshar nashim chayos b'sudazu. It's possible the women are obligated in this meal. Umihu gam royal nashim, and it is say it's probably women may or may not be obligated, but it's appropriate for women to also participate in a lava malka. Okay, so that is it for